I entitled the service A Light Bulbs and Cruets. That's the grown-up version of light and salt. So that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. I need your help at the moment, young and old, to think about salt and its uses. So I need some ideas of how we can use salt in our everyday lives.
Flavouring.
Preserving.
Melting.
Gargling. Melting ice. Murder. Any disinfectant?
Purification.
Okay. Well, I've got some on my list you haven't thought of yet. Ah. Did you hear that?
Medicine.
And are there any flower arrangers here? Apparently, salt in the water preserves flowers as long as you don't use too much. I thought. Oh.
It sweats aubergines ready to grill.
There you go. It sweats aubergines. I didn't have that one, actually, funnily enough. But you haven't had that you can melt it and destroy high explosives. Did you know that? Google is a wonderful thing. So if you use a little bit of salt, it makes your flowers last longer. If you use a lot of salt, it kills the weeds. Does anybody say healing?
Medicine.
Your tears. The saline can heal. What about cleaning? It can remove blood stains. In the past, it had lots of other uses and lots of value, because if you know your history, as I'm sure you do, Roman soldiers were paid their salary, first three letters are S-A-L, in what?
Salt.
It was used to seal a contract. It was used in offerings. Lots and lots of different uses, lots of history to our salt. So that's the practical, and then we're going to apply the Bible to it as well. That's the salt bit. Now we've got something about the light, and I'm going to need the children up the front for this bit. So, children, if you are wanting to participate in an activity up the front, come now, please. You're not going to get a song, you've just got to come. No. You've got to pay attention. Right, sit yourselves down for the time being. I'm going to sit up here. Right. I've talked about salt so far, but I'm also going to talk about, do you know what that is?
Candle.
Mm-hmm.
Candle.
What do you do?
Glass.
What do you do with a candle?
Light it up.
You light it up. Do you keep it in a cupboard?
No.
You put it back in the cupboard when it's lit and put the lid back on. What will happen if I put the lid back on? Oh, that's interesting. What will happen if you put the lid back on? And I'm the health and safety people here. I'm not going to light candles this morning, just so you know. If I lit the candle, come on, science. If I lit the candle and I put the lid back on, what would happen? That's right. Very good. So, you need to have the air to the candle as well. Now, I have a story. It's not a true story, but it's got a lesson that we can learn. I'll tell you why it's not a true story, because it talks about inanimate objects talking to each other, which means things like candles talking to each other. Can candles talk to each other?
No.
No, okay.
If a candle would talk to each other, if it was a true story, a candle would actually talk to each other.
Yes, and it doesn't. So this isn't a true story, but I think you might learn something. Now, when I was young, probably about the age of some of you, we used to have things regularly called power cuts. Does anybody know what a power cut is? Shows my age. Tell me what a power cut is.
It's when the electricity comes
off. When the electricity goes off and nothing works. It wasn't so bad in the olden days because we just had a television and we had batteries in things like radios and we didn't have digital clocks that bleeped when the power came back on. So we didn't have quite as many electrical things. But it was very inconvenient because not only did everything in the house go dark, but the street went dark and everything went dark. So in our house and in lots of other people's houses, they would have had a box like this and they kept their candles in, usually in the cupboard under the stairs, because you knew where it was. Now, I'm going to show you some of my candles from my cupboard under the stairs. I've got a nice collection here. Right, if you sit back, I'm going to put them up here. I've got this one which has been burned once, because we obviously used that. This one's a new one. Okay, and then I've got some nice tea lights. That one doesn't smell. Let's see if I've got one that smells nice. Let's see, this one might smell nice. Have a smell of that. Does that smell nice? You want to come and have a smell? Nice smelly candles. Don't use up all the smell, because Anna will be cross with me. It's not my candle. Want to smell it? No? Okay. So we've lots of candles in our boxes. And then we've got one that we've decorated with stars. That one's not smelly. And then that one's smelly. You can smell that one. And then I've got this one. This one's a very fancy candle. It's got flowers and shells and stones, but it is a candle. You can see the wick. Have I ever burned it?
No.
No, it's much too special. Much too special to burn. What about this one?
I think that one will smell nice.
You think that one? It used to. It used to smell very nice. It doesn't smell very nice anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you about these candles that lived in the cupboard under the stairs. One night there was a power cut and the owner of the house went and got the candles out. And they put one by the front door, one by the window, one on the windowsill. All around the house the candles went out and lit so that people could get up and down and see what they were doing. And there was one, stripy one, fancy one, that was put at the top of the stairs. Stripey didn't really like being a candle. He didn't think that being a candle was very exciting. He thought he was much better, because he's got so many colours, he'd be much better to be a firework.
Okay.
He thought he was really a firework, and he was much too important to be put at the top of the stairs where nobody really went. So know what he did? He was so cross that he'd been put in such an unimportant place, he leant forward where there was a bit of a draft. And what happened, do you think, to his flame? It went out.
Somebody blowed it.
There was a draft. It was an old house and they didn't have central heating because it had gone off anyway. And so the wind in the house blew the candle out. So it was completely dark at the top of the stairs. And he sat there and he thought, that'll show them. Ha, that'll show them, he thought. I'm much too important to be sat here. And then he heard something. He heard a little child coming out of her bedroom. And she was on her way to go to the toilet in the dark. but she couldn't see where she was going.
Did she scream?
She didn't scream because she knew it was dark and night time, and she was making her way to the bathroom and she tripped. And what's at the, what do you think is upstairs on the landing coming down? The stairs. And she tripped and she was going to fall down the stairs. But just at that moment, the power came back on and the lights came and she didn't fall. And all the candles were blown out and put back in the cupboard under the stairs.
Yeah.
And Stripey, just a minute, Stripey said, I think I did something I shouldn't have done. I think I should have stayed lit just in case I was needed, because that was my job to do. I'm not a firework, I'm a candle. And I was asked to light the top of the stairs. And because the power came on, the little girl didn't get hurt. But I would have felt very, very bad if she'd fallen and hurt herself on the stairs. So what, sometimes we have jobs to do and we don't think they're very important. And we think we're much too important to do those boring jobs like helping washing up and tidying, really boring jobs like that.
I do.
You do. Well, I'm glad you do. Well, I'm going to give you each one of these this morning. We're going to sing a song. I'm just going to come back in a minute. We're going to sing a song called, what do you think? Something about light. What song do you think I might have chosen about light? Right, there's some more. How big is your light that I've just given you? Is it a big light or a little light?
A little light.
Okay, so this is your little light, so you can sing this little light of
mine.
Now, just because I can, I've got one that's lit.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. You are like salt for everyone on earth, but if salt no longer tastes like salt, how can it make food salty? All it's good for is to be thrown out and walked on. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden, and no one would light a lamp and put it under a clay pot. A lamp is placed on a lampstand where it can give light to everyone in the house. Make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise you, your Father in heaven.
Thank you very much. Right, Tahila next. She's going to read from Genesis chapter 19, verse 26.
On the way, Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a block of salt.
Right, Natasha, where are you? This one's a little bit different. This is the Elisha effect.
2 Kings 2, verse 21. Elisha, the effect may be surprising, and he carried it to the spring. He threw the salt into the water and said, the Lord has made this water pure again. From now on, you'll be able to grow crops and no one will starve.
Thank you. Monique. Monique's reading from 2 Chronicles, chapter 13 and verse 5.
You should know that the Lord, the God of Israel, gave David and his sons the right to rule Israel forever and by an agreement of salt.
Thank you. Michael. Michael's reading from Job, chapter 6 and verse 6.
What is food without salt? What is more tasteless than the white of an egg?
Thank you. And Joshua from Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 6.
Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Thank you very much. Thank you all very much for being willing to help me this morning. Thank you. Goodbye. When I was deciding
what music to pick, and you know that the songs are important to me. This song came into my head this morning, earlier in the week. I haven't sung it since I was a teenager, and all of a sudden it came into my head. Anybody else as well? Thank you, Sharon. You're not as old as me, though. Oh, okay. She learned it in beginner Sabbath school. Infant school, yes. Salt. In our lives. I've got a salt grinder. And I refilled it one day, and I was grinding my salt on the mashed potatoes. The lid came off. Careful now. How can we apply salt in our lives? Tavona read from Matthew 5, from the Sermon on the Mount. You are like salt for everyone on earth. But if salt no longer tastes like salt, how can it make food salty? All it's good for is to be thrown out and walked on. These days, we buy salt, and it is just salt. When Jesus said those words, they collected the salt from the shores of the Dead Sea. And what is also by the shores of the Dead Sea is sand. So the salt that Jesus was referring to was a mixture of sand and salt. Salt itself doesn't ever lose its flavour, but it could be more sand than salt, and then it's good for nothing. Another thing that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. It's interesting the words he chose. He didn't say you are to become the salt of the earth. He said you are the salt of the earth. He didn't challenge us or them to try harder to be like salt. He told his followers that they were already salt. We're challenged in the same way to stay salty. Don't get diluted by the sand. Stay devoted. He also didn't say, scatter the salt. We are the salt. In order that salt has any use, it needs to come into contact with whatever it's going to influence. The salt in my salt shaker is going to not flavour the food while it's sitting in my salt shaker. While it sits in here, it does nothing. And those of you who are of similar age to me will remember that we used to put a little bit of rice in our salt. Do you remember doing that? I was thinking about it this week. I can't remember when we last needed to put it. We now have free running table salt. It doesn't, it's got some added extras to stop it clogging up. But in order that salt can flavour or preserve, it's got to come in contact with food. And in the same way, we have to come into contact with people in order that we can influence in any way. How many of you have ever swum in the sea? How many of you have swallowed some seawater? When you come out, you need an ice cream. You need something to quench that salty flavour. But in the same way, the salt makes us thirsty. Our lives need to inspire other people to thirst, not for a lolly or an ice cream or a drink, but to thirst after Jesus' righteousness. We should be living so that others will want what we have. William Barclay wrote this: Christianity is to life what salt is to food. Christianity lends flavour to life. The tragedy is that so often people have connected Christianity with precisely the opposite. They've connected Christianity to that which takes flavour out of life. The don't do this, don't do that type of Christianity. Thirsting after righteousness, that's how the salt works. Now, salt, by its flavour, is easily identified. I'm sure that there will be some people here who might have put sugar in a salt cellar and vice versa, just to see what would happen. No, Wilma has never considered it, but she's going to this afternoon if you're going back to hers for lunch. We shouldn't need to have a sign round our neck to say, I'm a Christian. There's a story, and it may or may not be true, about a woman who was driving a car, and she had on the back of her car one of these fish symbols. And as she was driving along, someone cut her up. She tooted, and she was driving along. Somebody else did something that annoyed her, and she wound down her window and she yelled at them, "It was not me." She did several things that were not necessarily pleasant to each other, to her fellow drivers. And before long, she saw a blue flashing light come behind her. And the policeman stopped her and said, "Excuse me, madam, but may I see the proof of ownership of this vehicle? I presume this is your vehicle. Or perhaps it's been stolen." She said, "What do you mean?" She said, the policeman said, "Well, this can't be your car, because on the back of the car there's that fish symbol, and I know what that means. And your driving style was not conducive with being a Christian." And she had an uncomfortable wait for her husband to come with the proof of ownership of the vehicle before the police would release her. Sometimes if we wear the symbol, or we let people know we're Christians, they will be observing us by what we say and what we do. But when it's used properly, salt doesn't overpower. It enhances. It doesn't draw attention to itself if it's used properly. We don't need to do big, showy, good works. It's the little things. The small contact, the smile, the helping hand, that little pinch of salt. Sometimes if we think about the big names in the Bible, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Elijah, Peter, Paul, they were the big, powerful names. We can be intimidated by what they did for God. I can't do that. But there are some that are recorded in the Bible who had candle flames, to go back to the light. They were candle flames, not powerful flashlights. The little captive maid, Timothy's mother and grandmother, Dorcas, little lights, a little bit of salt doing their bit. background people, not front of house people. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'm not telling you to say, look at me, aren't I good, but to give you an illustration. Some time ago, I had to go to a company meeting down in Eastbourne. And to get to Eastbourne from here, well, where we live, is round the down the M1, round the M25, and all the rest of it down the bottom there. I didn't fancy driving it. So I decided to take the train, which was a lot less hassle from Bedford. Getting there, no problem at all. Made it to my meeting on time for once. It was just the return journey. Thank you, Anna. The return journey was a little more eventful. I was sitting on the train, minding my own business, or listening to the people talking around me, and an older couple were on the train. They got on at Gatwick. They were talking to each other about the problems that they'd already encountered, having only just landed in the country. They'd just come in from Mallorca, they'd never been to Britain before. They'd lost their luggage, their plane had been delayed, they were just not having a good holiday. After a little while, the train stopped, and our driver informed us that there was going to be a delay as the power had been cut on the line because there was a trespasser on the line. So we sat and made conversation and waited and waited. And after about half an hour, possibly more, this announcement came on that actually our train was being terminated at the next station, and we would have to work out however we needed to get wherever we wanted to go. This was somewhere in London, London Bridge or something. So I got my phone out and the maps. How am I going to get home from here? I've got to do this and I've got to do that, because the line ahead, the power was cut. And these poor people from Mallorca had never been to Britain. They were trying to get, I can't remember where now, but it was the other side of London. So I looked on my map and helped them work out how to get there. And I said, well, if we go to St Pancras together, I'll show you to the right station, to the right platform, and you can go. That's what we did. Didn't do anything special. I was going to St Pancras anyway in order to get home. But the look on their faces and the gratitude for what I had done for them was amazing. They thanked me so profusely for such a small pinch of salt. As an old hymn we sometimes sing, "Hark the voice of Jesus calling." And in there, there's a line that I just want to highlight. If you cannot speak like angels and you cannot preach like Paul, you can live the love of Jesus, you can show he died for all. Back in what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said it's possible for salt to lose its savour. It can get watered down, or salted down. It doesn't function. It's useless. We need to make a commitment and stick with that commitment. There are some who didn't, and their stories are also in the Bible. Those who weren't the salt of the earth. Tehillah reminded us of one, Lot's wife, who was turned to a pillar of salt, but she was not the salt of the earth. I can think of people like Nadab and Abihu. They were in great positions of power and authority, and they wasted it, and they destroyed themselves in the process. And in the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira, they had a great opportunity to do something for others, to help in a great need. And instead of being generous and giving their heart and their lives, they were selfish and deceitful. And that's what marked the end of their lives. What Jesus is telling us is that we, the church in Hemel Hempstead and other places, we are charged with a mission and a warning. If we do not commit to our mission, if we fail to engage in our mission, we're useless. We have responsibility to be reflections of Jesus. I was going to show the children this one. What kind of use is this? It's a great, it's beautiful. I've even dusted it to bring it in the car. What's missing? It's lost its savour, to mix metaphors. Looks good though, doesn't it? Let's just hope this works now. The lampstand itself wants the light. But you thought I hadn't plugged it in when it didn't work. I had in this case. Well, Paul had. But it needs connection to power to be effective. The bulb itself, us, are useless without being connected to the lamp and the power from God. Now, sometimes, and that was quite bright, you can have too much of a good thing. Too much salt in your food ruins it, as my mashed potatoes proved. But a little bit of salt in the flour water makes them last longer. Our Christian lives shouldn't be overpowering to the people we come in contact with. Little pinches of salt is what God asks of us. We shouldn't be in their face. I have one final quote from William Barclay, I have several of his books, which I inherited from my dad. He wrote this more than 50 years ago, but it's as true now as it was then. Christianity should not be visible only within the church. A Christianity whose effects stop at the church door is no use to anyone. It should be even more visible in the ordinary activities of life. Our Christianity should be visible in the way we treat a shop assistant, in the way we order a meal at a restaurant, in the way we treat our employees and employers, in the way we play a game or drive or park a car, in the daily language we use, in the daily literature we read. A Christian should be just as much a Christian in the factory, the workshop, the shipyard, the mine, the schoolroom, the surgery, the office, the kitchen, the golf course, the playing field, wherever, as he or she is in church. Jesus did not say, "You are the light of the church." Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And in a person's life in the world, his or her Christianity should be evident in everything we say and everything we do. We shouldn't need the fish on our car to let people know we're Christians. There's the story of the family that went out every Saturday morning, and their neighbours thought they were a lovely family who always went shopping together on a Saturday morning, oblivious to the fact that they were Christians going to church. It's sad. It's a story and we all smile, but it may be true. How do our friends and our neighbours see us? Do they see us as reflecting Jesus' light? Do they see us thirsting? Do the things we say and the things we do make people want what we've got? Let's be what we already are, what Jesus said we already are. Let's be the light. Let's be the salt that adds flavour to life. Let's be the light demonstrated by what we do. And may our Christianity be seen with visible consequences to everyone we encounter. And to God be the glory.